When and how did you come to faith? I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19 and at a Nicky Cruz outreach meeting. I'd been brought up in the church, and as a family we were committed to church life. But I took going to university as an opportunity to take some time out from God because I wasn't sure what I believed. When I was back home during the Easter holiday, a friend invited me to go to an evening event to hear this amazing American evangelist. If I'm honest, I wasn't convinced about going, but went along anyway, and was really affected by what I heard. At the end of the evening, there was a call for those who wanted to give their life to Jesus to come to the front, and I found myself standing up and walking forward. The professional evangelist did a good job. But the star of my conversion story was the friend who had the courage to invite me to go along with her. The real hero in my story was the person who said, "Why don't you come and see?" And guess what? Each of us can be that hero. And more importantly, each of us are called to be that star. But this E word, evangelism, carries quite a lot of baggage. It's quite possible that we've had some experiences of Christians who've aggressively pushed their faith on others despite their protests. And maybe our response has been to say, "I don't want to be like that." But how many of us, for fear of being that pushy person, have stepped back from sharing our faith a tad too far? How many of us, for fear of offending, have decided it's better that we keep our faith a little bit secret and hidden, so much so that no one gets to hear about how we spend our Sundays? And what of those great stories we have of God's fantastic goodness to us that those around us never get to hear? I remember years ago going into work the day after a relationship breakdown. I hadn't been in my office many moments when a colleague bounded into my office with the words, "Good news!" And he proceeded to tell me that he'd got engaged the night before. Brian had gone through a painful divorce, and here he was starting again. And although my life in that moment was in tatters, his beautiful good news lifted me and it gave me hope for the future. He modelled what we as Christians are called to be. In Isaiah 52 verse 7, we read, "What a beautiful sight. On the mountains, a messenger announces to Jerusalem, 'Good news, you're saved, there will be peace, your God is now king.'" And so not only is salvation good news for those who receive it, as we share this good news, as messengers of this good news, Isaiah tells us we become a beautiful sight. Our words of hope are attractive. Now, of course, not everyone will respond fully positively to this. Not everyone will be interested in this part of our lives. Not everyone will receive this good news. But some will. Some will want to know more. Some will join in our joy. And so we're called to join in with God's transforming work with those we interact with day by day. It should be a normal everyday event for us. It should happen in our ordinary interactions with those we rub shoulders with. Our Tesco delivery driver, our hairdresser, those at our running club or craft club or women's institute or down at the gym. Evangelism should happen in the ordinary conversations with our work colleagues, our neighbours, our family, and our friends. And here's some more really good news. We don't need a personality transplant to play our part, because God has gifted us to do evangelism in our own unique way. Quite simply, all of us, when somebody asks us about ourselves and what's important to us or what we did at the weekend, we can talk about our lives with Jesus. These questions provide an open door to be honest about who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Any conversation can be an opportunity for the good news of Jesus to be shared. In 2 Timothy 2, chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to be ready to talk about Jesus when he's prepared what he wants to say and when the moment unexpectedly presents itself. And the same is true for us as well. Another colleague of mine I used to work with was fascinated by the fact that I was a lay preacher. This was before I became a minister. And most Mondays, I got the opportunity to deliver a summary of my sermon, because at some point in the day, he'd say, "Well, what did you hit them with yesterday?" I was prepared for the question, and so I was able to think through how I might respond. But one of my favourite stories in the Bible is in John 4, verses 1 to 25, and it involves a Samaritan woman who lived on the margins of her community. Every day she went to the well at lunchtime to get water, and then one day Jesus was there and she becomes a Christian. But it's the next bit of the story which really excites me. John tells us, she runs home, leaving her precious stone water pot behind. Forgetting that she's a bit of an outcast in her neighbourhood, she's so full of what Jesus has done. She invites her neighbours and friends, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She didn't prepare a sermon or talk. She didn't think through what she was going to say. She spoke in the moment of what she just discovered. She spoke in the moment about what Jesus was doing in her heart. And in doing so, she was made beautiful in the eyes of those in her village. The Bible tells us loads of people responded to her invitation to come and see. And many of them became believers too. Whatever our circumstances, we're called to share what Jesus has done in our lives and to invite others to come and see. The season we're living in is such a difficult one for so many. And of course, as Christians, we're not immune to the way, the very real impact of COVID, but we can and still need to be messengers of good news. Before the Apostle Paul became a Christian, in Acts 8, verses 3 to 5, we're told he just went wild, devastating the church, entering house after house after house, dragging men and women off to jail. How tough was that? They were really difficult days. But Luke goes on to say, forced to leave home base, the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Wherever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. And I wonder, what would Luke write about Christians today? COVID has devastated our church community life. Instead of meeting in community, the church are forced to remain at home. Not being allowed to leave home base, the followers of Jesus, dot, dot, dot. What did the followers of Jesus do in these days? What did the followers of Jesus in TBC do? Did we just look after ourselves, or did we all become missionaries? Did we all, wherever we live, just enjoy services online and coffee Zoom calls? Or did we also take the opportunity to preach the message about Jesus? We have got such an opportunity to be people who invite our friends, our neighbours, our family and total strangers to come and see. If each of us brought one person to faith, church growth would be steady. It would work a bit like addition. We would add people one by one. If the sugar lumps on this board represent people coming to faith, and we filled it, we would grow by 64. But in the Bible, God's strategy is that of multiplication. If we multiply by 2 the number of sugar lumps on each square, so 1, 2, 4, 8, you get the picture. And we went through till all 64 were filled. According to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, if you multiplied the sugar cubes in this way, you would have enough sugar to cover the state of Texas with 30 feet of sugar. Such is the power of multiplication. So if we imagine those sugar cubes as being people who are coming, becoming Christians, our challenge is to keep on doubling ourselves when it comes to sharing our faith. Our challenge is to keep on sharing our faith, to keep on bringing people to faith and teaching them how to share their faith too. When evangelism is left to who we consider the gifted few, we grow through addition. But when evangelism becomes the cultural norm, we start to multiply. And I know we keep going on about this, but this is why we've been asking you to share your stories of what God is doing in your life on a Sunday morning. We want to encourage you to practice telling your story in church where it's safe, to the point where we start sharing the good stuff that God is doing because it's second nature to us. Because then, as we read in the Passion Translation, we'll be able to rise to the occasion and preach or share the good news of Jesus when it's convenient and when it's not. There'll always be a place for a professional evangelist. There'll always be a place for those who are particularly gifted in this way, because evangelism is a spiritual gift that God gives to some, but not all. But inviting people to come and see is the work of everyone. Yes, even you. And inviting someone has got a whole load easier during lockdown. I love the story that our friends from Dignity shared a few months ago. When we interviewed our mission partners, John and Jude, recently, they talked about a man called Elias. If you missed the interview, John and Jude met Elias in Windhoek in Namibia, and they spent some time talking about life groups, which is their way of sharing the good news of Jesus in sub-Saharan Africa. They told Elias about the transformative power people can have in their community through faith and working together. And Elias told them about a group of people addicted to alcohol and glue sniffing who'd been invited to church, but they didn't want to know. John and Jude left Elias with some life group training material and returned to the UK. 6 months later, John and Jude met up with Elias again. Despite the pandemic, Elias had started a life group, and people were starting to meet together to explore life and faith. Now, we, during lockdown, don't need to go down to the river to start a church there. We can share our faith through Facebook or Instagram or whatever other means of social media you use, by telling our own story and by sending out our service links so people can do church at home. some of our friends and colleagues aren't ready to come to church, like those guys that Elias had got to know. So starting in January, we're doing Alpha online. Alpha is an 11-week course which allows us to explore who Jesus is, to discover the work of the Holy Spirit, and of course we pray that at the end of that journey, people will come to faith. But our friends and our neighbours and our colleagues won't get to hear about Alpha. They won't get to join in unless we offer the invitation to come and see. You know, as Christians, we all too often make the mistake of thinking that we're taking God into a conversation. The truth is, he's already there. Our challenge is to listen to what he's doing and join. He wants us to join in the conversation that's already going on in our communities. As we think about how we respond to God's call to share our faith, I want to use an acronym, ACORN, to help us. And so we're going to pray. Let's pray. A is for ask. Each day we simply and prayerfully ask God, is there somebody I'm being nudged to connect with, to reach out to today? So Lord, in these moments, I pray that you will show us who we should ask. C stands for call. This is God's response to our question. His call is for us to respond to the name that may come immediately or later by way of that sense that this is his nudge to us. So Lord, open our hearts and our ears for your call. O is for obey. Our response might be through a phone call or any of the now recognized ways from Skype to FaceTime or WhatsApp or SMS and more. The first step need be as simple as asking, how are you doing? And listening to the question. So Lord, we pray that as we hear your nudge and we respond to it, you will give us the courage to obey. R is for report. We're doing this in community, in family. And so we can share with a Christian friend what God has done in this situation, even if it's a really small step, and invite them to share in praying as well. Lord, let us as church community become excited about your nudges and our responses. So N is to notice God. We should reflect on what God has done in and through us. Lord, help us to notice how you're using us and help us grow in obedience and faith. Lord, help us understand that although an acorn is small and it seems insignificant, it can grow into something big and beautiful with patience and care. So Lord, we pray that you will show us who to ask. Lord, we will hear your call. We will have the courage to be obedient, that we will be comfortable reporting on these activities with our friends so they can join us in prayer. And Lord, we pray that you will help us notice how you are using even us. So Lord, we lift Alpha before you, the people that will be there, the team that will be offering it, and the opportunity for us to share our faith and see your church grow. Amen.